Toto is probably one of the most powerful people in Formula One right now because he holds all the cards to when the driver market gets sorted.
Hello and welcome back to the Silver Arrows podcast, where we unravel the riveting twists and turns of the Mercedes-AMG Formula One team. I'm your host, Ben Tinsley, and this week we're joined by Sky Sports News journalist Adam Williams to discuss the ins and outs of an action-packed weekend both on and off the track for Mercedes. From the fervour of FP2 as Lewis topped the timesheets to the shock of Max's mooted Mercedes move on Monday, join us as we tackle all the key talking points from the Bahrain Grand Prix.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Adam, thanks for joining us. How's your winter been?
It's been busy, is what it has been. Plenty.
Busy's good?
Yeah, keeps me out of trouble. But yeah, plenty to be talking and thinking about and looking forward to in the world of sport. Especially Formula One.
Yeah, exactly. And on that front, how would you rate Mercedes weekend this first week in Bahrain?
Are we doing out of 10?
Yeah, let's do out of 10. Why not?
I'd give it a 4.
A 4? I think that's low.
No, but here's the thing, all right? Here's the thing. Everyone thinks that's low, but 5 is average.
Okay.
And what's average right now? Average is what Mercedes should be. Well, I would say average is maximizing what they should be doing. And they didn't maximize
no,
it.
No, that's fair. Neither did like lots of other teams, though.
No, actually, maybe it is harsh.
I'd say a six.
No, I'm going to stick with a 4 because it was a poor performance in that it was fundamental errors. With the calling that probably let them down in terms of not being able to maximise their race result. However, there were shoots of promise, so I think you're probably fair with a 6. I'm just probably a bit more pessimistic or negative, depending on how you want to frame it.
You look at it. Okay, so the green shoots obviously were probably FP2, Lewis topping the time sheets. I think that got a lot of people excited, and I think that shows some potential. And then I think the things that are disappointing and those fundamental issues you're talking about were obviously going with the most aggressive, I think it was, heating or cooling requirements. And that's a big risk in Bahrain. But I think my understanding is Mercedes essentially got caught out by the fact it was a lot cooler in Bahrain than it normally was, and they thought they could get away with a bit more.
Yeah, it was like 19 degrees, which in the desert is pretty chilly, even at night is pretty chilly at that time of year. So you can understand why they were really going for it, and it could have resulted in Mercedes looking like heroes and being up the road from everyone else because they'd gone for it. But at the same time, being aggressive with these sorts of things, especially with new cars, it can leave you susceptible to issues like this. But I think that they'll be able to sort themselves out for next weekend in Saudi Arabia. Also on a Saturday, the race.
Okay, if you're going to be critical of Mercedes for that, though, you probably have to be critical of McLaren, of Ferrari. They all had issues with their car.
Yeah, no one was perfect in their first season, but we're looking as Mercedes fans, hoping for the very best from our team. And I don't think we've ever heard that as a reason for them not doing well before. So you usually think, okay, so usually that's quite easy to do, you would imagine.
I think the forecast was maybe a little bit different to than I don't to know. What it was anticipated to be. Am I making excuses here? Am I being bad?
No, but like I say, I think that you can see why they did it, and it could well have paid off. So I think maybe I'm being harsh.
How much of a difference do you think it made being wrong with the cooling requirements?
Well, George said 0.4 seconds. I'm guessing per lap he meant by that, because they were having to do lifting coasting from very early on. So that could well have put them on pace for George, at least, to be on the podium or fighting for the podium at least. But you don't know about Leclerc, whether he would have been in that battle too had he had fewer issues with his brakes. So it's difficult to tell. Like you say, there were teething issues for most teams.
So let's look at it this way. Going into the weekend, before FP1, before FP2, would you have taken 5th and 7th as a good result for Mercedes this weekend, bearing in mind what they've done over the winter, bringing a completely different concept of car, knowing that there's a lot of improvements to make moving forward? Would you have taken that?
I think at the end of testing, yes, you'd have taken that. It's a solid foundation to build from, given that you know that the Silver Arrows haven't maximized what they did this weekend. I think the McLarens were beatable for Lewis. He was struggling quite a bit with engine overheating, probably a bit earlier on, it seemed, or he was complaining of it first, from what we heard on the team radio broadcast. But I also think that he wasn't helped out by qualifying behind them. So, if he had qualified ahead of them, he wouldn't have had the issue in the first place. So that was... Yeah, I think that was perhaps the other area where Mercedes and Lewis kind of went down the wrong path and didn't help themselves. And the way that Lewis described it was that his setup was better for FP2, which was Thursday afternoon or evening. So him and George went down that route, but then he went kind of to the right and George went to the left. George's one to the left supposedly would help out a bit more in qualifying, whereas Lewis wanted to help maximise his tyre wear and performance in the race. However, he went too far down that right path, which really compromised him during qualifying. You almost felt from Q1 it was going to be a struggle of a weekend, like it had already gone. He was struggling to get out of the first session.
You just knew, didn't you? You just knew. What you're saying there is really interesting, because I think George came out last night or today and basically said, I don't really know if our setups were that different. And whether or not that's true, I think for Hamilton, he always used to do this, and I don't know if it really paid off last season or maybe even the season before that, where he compromises qualifying so much that even in a race, with how close it is between that group of cars at the moment, he really struggles to actually make progress.
No, I think that that's a valid point, because in the past he has trusted himself, because he's a great overtaker, a great racer. That's obviously where points get handed out, but you look at him against Bottas. He was quite happy for Bottas to take pole position. He was going to win on Sunday anyway, 9 times out of 10. I don't know whether those are the exact statistics, but you know what I mean. However, these cars are getting harder and harder to overtake, ironically, given the new regulations that we've gone into. Yeah, I think that you probably got a point there, Ben.
Absolutely.
And maybe Mercedes do need to look at that. However, it is going to become a more common theme, perhaps George and Lewis saying slightly different things about each other's,
Yeah, I think
just
so.
about each other in
I
general,
think.
perhaps. There's going to naturally be some more competitive tension there.
I think we've seen it already. I think we've already seen it. If you looked at Lewis's press conference on Thursday, I think it was, or maybe it was Wednesday this week,
Wednesday.
he made a few comments and left these like little knowing pauses after, knowing that people were going to pick up or maybe put words in his mouth, just about like even was it George's relationship with Toto? I think they clearly get on well. And then like a bit of a pause. And do you know what? Watching that, it made me really excited because I was like, this is like Lewis in his element. He plays these mind games and he gets in people's heads. And I thought Mercedes have got a good car this year because like Lewis is getting involved in these games. It's no longer just, oh, as a team, we've got to work to dig ourselves out of it. It's like he's starting to fend for himself a little bit. And then obviously on Friday, I was then like, okay, maybe I was just reading too much
Well,
into
I had
that.
a similar thought when he was on the trap parade. I don't know if you saw it, where he pulled Lawrence Barreto up for ranking him lower in his season predictions or something, and you thought, yeah, Lewis back against the wall. It's going to be a good day today, and it was a mediocre day, to say the least, or probably the most, according to my rating. But yeah, I think you're right. There is
There's no
going to be
doubt.
tension there, and George is going to be wrestling the leadership of Mercedes off Lewis this season. He wants to be in charge now.
I think we've seen a different George even we've seen a different George even this weekend. I think much more authoritative just in how he obviously wants to like start taking over that baton this year. And obviously Mercedes, I think as difficult as this is to say, like as a Hamilton fan, I think they've sort of got to accept that and they've got to
Yeah,
sort
for
of
sure.
encourage him to do that.
But Mercedes have to realise that Lewis Hamilton is their most marketable asset right now, and they've got a year left, a world tour to say goodbye, as I think Martin Brundle said something similar. You can obviously speak better than me right now, and you don't want to upset Lewis, because there's no point leaving on bad terms after such a long period of success and good times together. The only way that they can, well, I think they can make a success of this transition with Lewis leaving for Ferrari next season, and us all knowing that already, by having a really good year, being friends, and then kind of racing but admiring each other from afar. I think that is the best way that you can expect them to play it. Otherwise, I think they'd be shooting themselves in the foot, as there's probably a lot of sponsors that are paying good money to Mercedes because Lewis is there. Although, then again, George is a good name too. The question is, does Tommy Hilfiger want to be sponsoring for George Russell or for Lewis Hamilton? Oh, and George Russell. I don't know. But Monster Energy nailed their colours, didn't they? Because they've moved to McLaren from Mercedes, but they've kept with Lewis as a personal sponsor. Don't know if you noticed that. There you are. A bit of sponsorship talk.
I did, yeah. We're like 15 minutes into the new season and we're already talking about sponsorships. That says everything about how far Red Bull sort of ran away with the race, I guess. But I want to talk to you about this because I felt overwhelmingly positive generally before this weekend. And even though it was very disappointing, that was only disappointing because I went in with optimism. And I think that optimism for the rest of the season remains. I think there's no doubt. Let's talk about Max very quickly. Max is like nailing it in the Red Bull, and he's going to win the Drivers'
You'd
Championship.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
There's like no doubt about that. But, well, we can get onto all that later. Quite looking forward to that. But I really think Mercedes are in for a chance, at least, of winning the Constructors' Championship this year. And that's the big thing that I get excited about out of this race. And I know that's bold, but Perez is, what, four or five tenths off Max. We know that he makes mistakes. If Mercedes are as fast as they think they could have been this weekend, and George and Lewis as probably Agreed. Together the best driver pairing on the grid, with a good development curve, first race of the season, and we'll come back to this like at the end of the season, I'm sure. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't bet against Mercedes
put it that way. You might be onto something there. It's a bold call, like we said. However, if Mercedes can nail it every single time, other than Bahrain, which they didn't, then there is no reason why they can't finish both cars ahead of Perez. The only caveat I would have for that is that last season, Max managed to win the Constructors' Championship on his own. So, it's not just a question of beating Perez with both cars all the time. I think you're going to have to beat Max a few times. And I have a similar optimism to you, Ben. Now, I have a feeling that this could be the season that Lewis gets a win back on his side. The 104th. He got his pole position back on in Hungary last year, and didn't the pub that I was in know it when I was there on my holidays? And I think that you're right. That there could well be something special in terms of a final year with Lewis at the team, because we don't know who's going to replace him, but I think it'll be fair to say that Mercedes might not have the best driver lineup anymore after this season. I think that's fair to say.
Okay, well, we're going all over the place anyway with this podcast, so let's just bring up the elephant in the room now. No, that's fine. That's fine. But what you're saying there is that, say, if Mercedes brought in like a young driver, Kimi Antonelli, if you listened to the show last week, we sort of went into detail on him a little bit. Obviously, that's really exciting for the future. But as a pairing, you'd look at Leclerc and Hamilton and go, well, they're stronger.
But would Alonso and Russell be stronger than Leclerc and Hamilton? I agree, but
I don't think so.
I agree, but I
no. Do you?
You could argue that George is better than Leclerc. I don't think so. Just, but you could argue.
Oh, do you not? I don't know. I think so. Like, Leclerc's driven a nicer car for longer than Russell has in F1 since they came through. Russell beat Leclerc in the youth feeder series, so he's got form. But what about Max Verstappen and George Russell? Because if you haven't seen this, I'm sure everyone listening to the podcast now probably has.
There's a lot of stuff going on in Formula One. Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on in Formula One. We'll try and keep it Mercedes focused, but it's so difficult because it all has an impact on Mercedes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In the paddock, on Saturday evening, I think, or Sunday, there was a picture of Max's dad, Jos, with Toto. And you think, okay, well, that's obviously just a little bit of playing a game. There's a bit of unrest at Red Bull. Today, I think it's been reported by Autosport that Jos has said Christian needs to leave Red Bull. And then there's a comment from Marco basically saying he wouldn't stand in the way of him going to Mercedes, which is just like insane. And surely it must all be like politics behind the scene. But let's just entertain the idea for a little bit. With all the history, Max in Mercedes?
Well, I think for similar reasons, last season I said Lewis would never go to Ferrari because that would be like joining the enemy. However...
Yeah? Do you know what? We should clip that up.
Yeah, I saw it in my notes, so I'm sure I must have said it at some point. But yeah.
You did. I remember you saying
it. Can I see Max joining Mercedes? Yes, at some point in his career. I probably would have seen that happening. So soon? No. And I don't think it will. Sorry to crush Mercedes fans' hearts. If you want Max, if you
does it though? I think there's a lot of people who'd be very very split about it,
because
me included.
Why would you leave Red Bull unless Adrian Newey leaves? But even after that, I think they'll still produce a good car. If Red Bull start making bad cars, then leave. Fair enough. But by that point, you're probably looking at leaving in 2027.
I don't know. I think there's something, whatever's going on at Red Bull at the moment, I don't think anyone quite knows, but it is at a point now where you can't take anything for granted, and stranger things have happened in F1 than Max leaving Red Bull and joining Mercedes.
It's a constantly evolving scenario. Having to keep it on, checking my emails and my WhatsApp, even notifications coming up now, I'm thinking, oh, because something new had happened. But yeah, I think we don't know whether Christian Horner's done anything. We can't really say much more than that. However, what we do know is that there are people within the Red Bull circle that do want him out, and Jos Verstappen has made it clear that he's one of them. Whether Max wants rid of Christian Horner, I don't know. Apparently he's not said anything about. No.
Well, he hasn't distanced himself from it. I think you have to assume, given how close Max is with his dad, you have to assume that by
default, it's an odd one.
That's his view as well. And he hasn't he's had chances to support Christian.
It's an odd one because they're seemingly really close. However, Christian is very good, as we've seen in recent days, at making himself appear close to certain people, hugging them, holding their hands or whatever. But not that he holds Max's hands. You know what I mean? it's a political game.
I do.
But yeah, there's a split. But that's for the Red Bull. I'm conscious that you want us to focus on the Mercedes part. So I don't think that it'll be Max that joins the team to replace Lewis, if that's what we're discussing.
No, I think we are discussing, because the race itself was pretty boring. There's optimism for Mercedes, but there's so much stuff going on that impacts the future that's, I think, probably where we're going with this conversation. I think whoever takes the seat next year, there's a really interesting narrative. If you look at the three people who've been suggested, so either you have Kimi Antonelli, who's like the next best thing to come into F1 since Max, but probably before that,
if
since
he
Lewis
performs in F2.
If you have,
we don't know how good he's going to be.
Yeah, and he didn't.
He's still young. It's still early.
No, I mean he didn't do.
Yeah,
he had a difficult car this week in Bahrain, but he still had a good race, I think, considering how slow the Prima cars were. If it's not Kimi, it's talked about being Fernando Alonso. Now, given everything with Spygate, the sort of Lewis Fernando history, I think that offers its own interesting narrative.
With Fernando, would you agree? It only makes sense if it's at least 2 years. He's not going to come for 1 year. because why would he walk away from the Aston Martin project just for 1 year and then?
I think I can give a good reason for that. I think Mercedes would have a reasonably good shot at the championship.
Well, better
again,
better than Aston Martin, but it might force his retirement after that. Whereas Lawrence Stroll might be able to promise him F1 for longer. I don't know. That would be the only thing I would say that holds Fernando back.
And then, sorry, just to finish my point, the third one would be Max. So either way, we've got something really interesting that's probably going to happen. And I might be wrong. It'll end up being like Esteban Ocon now and everyone will be disappointed. But the three names being suggested at the moment, because he'll be desperate to leave.
It's a very polite way to put what's going on at Alpine right now.
For sure.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Lewis has been brilliant to Toto, really, by giving him all year to kind of play all the drivers up against each other, because Toto is probably one of the most powerful people in Formula One right now, because he holds all the cards to when the driver market gets sorted.
Do you think he feels powerful? I think he feels a little upset about what's happened.
Now that he understands the situation, I think he holds all the cards. Something mad happens at Red Bull, like Verstappen retire.
No, what do you mean? It literally is right now. I'm sure it is.
I mean, sorry, yeah, you're right. I should have been clearer. Okay. So I don't know. Perez has an absolute shocker and has to leave, and then someone other than Ricciardo or Tsunoda gets promoted, which you would think it's one of those two if they do, then all the drivers are wanting to get to the highest seat possible, and that at the moment is Mercedes. Carlos Sainz is another name that we've not mentioned. Does he go for Carlos Sainz? He's a capable pair of hands.
I think the trouble with Carlos is you then have done like a direct driver swap, and you look at it and you go, who's come out better out of that? And it has to be Ferrari. Whereas if you put Kimi in the seat, then it's a little bit more
Let me put it this way. How many years has Lewis got left for Ferrari? I don't know, 3-4 years? Carlos Sainz could still go for a bit longer. True. And say George Russell's competing for championships, Carlos Sainz is still going to push him hard and be finishing second and winning on the occasions when Russell can't. He almost fits that Valtteri Bottas mould that Mercedes want until Antonelli's ready. So maybe Carlos Sainz isn't as bad a shout as you might think. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to get too bogged down in other drivers, but I would say calling Carlos Sainz a Valtteri Bottas is probably offensive to Carlos Sainz. I think there's reason to suggest that Carlos might actually be quicker than Charles Leclerc in certain circumstances, but I can't see it being Carlos. I can't see it being Carlos. But anyway, look, let's talk about Lewis, because we were going to talk about the Bahrain Grand Prix. It's obviously not very exciting, but I'm sure you've got lots to say, because this is your first time on the podcast since Lewis has made his move. I do understand it to a certain extent, but there's bits that I don't get. So what do you think's going on there?
Well,
Why do you think Lewis has decided to do it now?
Because I'm still buzzing off it. What a move for the sport.
What, you're excited about?
It's the biggest name in Formula One, going to the biggest name in Formula One. It's amazing. Yeah.
And that's the bit of it that I understand. And if he goes and wins a title, great. But there's part of me that's like, okay, well, Mercedes could have prioritised development next year on getting a car that would have won in his championship before the new rule set, and it would have locked in the fact that he is the greatest of all time. And I understand going to Ferrari, winning a title with them, doing it across three different teams, it like leaves him undisputedly the best F1 driver of all time. But
so
why now?
I'm sure he's thought about it, but
what changed?
But the reality is, I think that Mercedes dropped the ball, and maybe they didn't learn from the lessons they might have been able to from Alpine with Fernando Alonso. When you've got an older but brilliant driver, you don't offer them fewer years just to kind of string them along for a bit before the next youngster comes along, and then expect them to stay loyal to you. They're going to be looking to be in a team where they're 100% committed to. And that's why Fernando left. And that's why I think Lewis left as well. He wanted to be a Mercedes ambassador. I don't know for sure, but I did hear that he wanted to be an ambassador for the next 10 years, but the Mercedes board didn't give that the okay. That might have been one of the reasons. He's now going to be a Ferrari ambassador. And that's quite a cool thing to be able to get involved in anyway.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
It's only cool if he wins a championship, though. If he doesn't win something with Ferrari that is an achievement greater than what he's achieved at Mercedes, which sounds weird because he's never going to win the amount of titles he won with Mercedes at Ferrari. But without that, then I think he'll always be known as the driver who won
and that's why
those titles with Mercedes.
And that's why Mercedes Ferrari will can't still do anything have about Lewis that. Intertwined in their legacy and vice versa, which is nice. They've already given each other so much that I don't think Lewis's loyalty could be questioned. And it means that it's actually okay for him to go to a different team and try a new project. And in answer to your question about whether or not it's a success for Lewis if he goes to Ferrari and doesn't win a title, I remember in 2015, and I think I was young still, and Sebastian Vettel was still like the enemy in my head after all those boring years of him winning for Red Bull. But the goosebumps I still get and got at the time when he started crying and singing and screaming when he won that first race in Malaysia for Ferrari, I think winning a race for Ferrari, that probably would feel like a world championship, especially the amount of time that Lewis hasn't won for. And he's a winning driver. That's what he does. That's what he has always done. And unfortunately, he's not able to do that for whatever reason at the moment with Mercedes. You look at the last driver to win a world championship to stop a domination. Rightly or wrongly, it was Max Verstappen at the end of a rule change. So I think you're right to say, why not wait to see if Mercedes can get him there in 2025, the last year of the rule change. But Ferrari are closer to Red Bull, and I think we saw that again this season already. So
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I think they're neck and neck. And I would always trust Mercedes' ability to develop through a season more than Ferrari's.
Yeah, I think by form, yeah.
So by the end of this season, we can assume that Mercedes will be ahead of Ferrari.
I think you're probably right. But this is the way that Lewis might be thinking. But also, you don't know what kind of promises John Alkin and Fred Vasseur have been able to give. Fred Vasseur's looking to bring in heavyweight signings. You never know what's going on at Red Bull. Could even Adrian Newey be rocking up at those doors? Imagine that.
What, to Ferrari?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
No one really will ever know. until Lewis releases that famous book that he keeps on talking about releasing in a few years' time with all the secrets of his career. But yeah, I don't think there's as much logic to it at this point as there is emotion. And why would you not want to drive a Ferrari? Sorry, I know this is a Mercedes podcast, but even Mercedes, yeah.
No, I think it's interesting because it's Lewis, right? So, and I think realistically, there's probably a lot of people listening to this podcast that listen to it because they're fans of Lewis, who next year we're going to have to start a Ferrari podcast alongside this one because otherwise, where are they going to go? So I think it is interesting.
You're going to have your work cut out, mate.
But I still don't know if I fully understand it. It's hard enough doing one. Okay, so
can I just say that the Bahrain Grand Prix, as a track, it's always produced brilliant racing. So it's kind of disappointing that it didn't on this occasion. And I've got a theory as to why. It's because there's no new drivers, no rookies.
Go for it.
No one to kind of throw a spanner in the works by having a whoopsie. They're all, that also doesn't help. Although in testing that they had the same
that's
thing.
That's been like compounded over a few years.
So. Yeah, I think that's it. Those two things mean that they're just too experienced around that track. They need a separate testing track where they just, although saying that, everyone knows Silverstone better than they do their own house, probably, as F1 drivers. And there's always good racing there. So, yeah, I think we maybe just got unlucky this year.
Something I read, and it sounds a bit contradictory to what Mercedes were saying in terms of the issues they had with the cooling. But because they had testing, teams felt like they were able to dial in the setup pretty accurately, or at least know what other people were doing. So it didn't really leave a big amount of sort of change up in the general running order. But then again, if you look at Mercedes, they made a mistake. So perhaps that's just sort of nonsense. But okay, let's talk about positives for Mercedes from this weekend, from the last week. Think of a few, okay. Adam. There's got to be some. I can name one. Their pit stops were at least a little bit faster than they seemed to be last year, statistically.
Yeah, that was a good one. I think both drivers seem on it. Lewis just couldn't get up with George because of setup, but I think, they both seem up for it this season. I think that competitive spirit will drive both of them forward, and that's going to be predominantly a positive thing unless they trip over each other too many times. And I think that the team is united as a result of that. They want to prove to...
You sound like Christian Horner.
I do, don't I?
Keep insisting it and we'll believe it more and more.
Yeah. I'm getting ill due to all... Oh, no, I'm not going to do some defamation here. We can cut that out. You don't have to because...
That will probably get left in, I think.
Oh, no. No, it's fine. I was going to say... Yeah, the team are more united than ever. And I think that the reason for that is, going back to what we were saying with Lewis leaving, half of the team will want to prove Lewis wrong, half of the team will want to wish him off well, because of what a big part of the team he has been. One thing I will say on that, and you might have to bring this back, so I'm sorry, it is a bit of a...
Yeah, I'm not hearing many positives.
It is a bit of a vote of unconfidence in the team from Lewis, one of its biggest leaders, in leaving. So that's maybe a concern.
That's why I was interested for you to say that you felt like Toto was one of the most powerful men in F1 at the moment.
No, I think he is.
Yes.
Fred Vasseur will feel like he is. But no, I genuinely do feel like Toto holds 99% of the, or 95% of the cards for the driver market.
In the driver market? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Positives, okay.
The car isn't a bad car at all. It's easier to drive.
actually, that's all I was going to say. I was going to say what the drivers are saying is that actually it's a much better car. It's a much better foundation. So that's why I'm excited about the options or the abilities to develop through the year and potentially get into a fight for the Constructors' Championship. Or at the very least, maybe get into a fight for a few races at the end of the year.
Right. I think you should give a race. Which race Mercedes going to win? There might be multiple wins.
Okay, well, I was going to do some quick fire questions at the end. So let's maybe do those now. How many races do you think Mercedes will win this year?
Two.
Which ones?
Austin.
Good shout.
And Lewis can pull out a Hungary special or a Silverstone special or a Brazil special. In one of those three circuits, Lewis will win.
Okay, and you think Mercedes will get the two wins through Lewis, or do you think George will get one as well?
I think George will win in Austin. I know that's quite specific. Okay,
so they'll each win one race each.
Yeah. But okay. Where Lewis wins, I think, will be partly the car and partly just because he quite likes the track.
Where will Mercedes finish in the Constructors' Championship this year?
Do I agree with you and go second place? Oh, no, you said first place, didn't you?
I said first
place. Yeah, you did. As a bold one. I'm going to go against what I was saying earlier and say Mercedes finished second. But that's only because Charles Leclerc is one of the most unlucky people in the world. And we do forget that Ferrari should have come second in the Constructors' Championship last year. If it wasn't for Vegas...
Yeah, I think you could maybe even argue that they should have won the championship in the first year if they'd have developed better. In the first year of regulations, 2022.
Definitely. Laughing Fred Vasseur is at the wheel. You might have to cut that out.
Final quickfire question. The Mercedes driver lineup for next year.
So I feel like George is going to be there.
George Russell, definitely.
Yeah, he's fairly nailed on.
To put you on the spot. Come on, Adam.
I shouldn't have known this was coming. I'm going to go for Carlos Sainz.
Wow, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. Look, thank you very much for joining us. It's been an interesting chat, I think.
Yeah.
Not what we expected, but I think it just goes to show that the Grand Prix was a bit dull. There's a lot of excitement, I think, to come. But it's more about what's going on in the wider world of F1 at the moment. So is there any parting thoughts you want to share with the listeners?
Just I hope you all had a nice winter. Sorry for my randomness. I've had a bit of a cold, so that's why my voice is like this. But looking forward to talking more about F1 and Mercedes throughout the season. So speak to you soon. And thank you, Ben. Really enjoyed speaking to you as always.
Cheers, Adam. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for this week. Thanks a lot again for Adam for joining us. And sorry again if that chat got a little bit waylaid with lots of other sort of non-Bahrain specific stuff. But there's just so much going on in F1 at the moment that felt like the right thing to do. And I think we're going to learn a lot more about Mercedes and the lay of the land over the next coming weeks. Anyway, if you enjoyed this episode, just a reminder, subscribe in your podcast app so that you get all of our episodes in your feed, and just leave us a little rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, just to pop us in those charts to help other people find the podcast. We'll be back next week with a review of the Saudi Arabia Grand Prix.